Oh, good morning. Nick Baker, your host, and you are listening to The Prayer Chair. And I am on part 9 of the Left Wing Church, and I have a message from my novel I am working on called An Angel Named Kate, and it's a book series, and God has put things in my heart and to reach out to the church and to reach out to those who truly support children. And one of my chapters mentioned Foster the Valley and what God has in store for us and for us to take in every child there is, every child that needs a home and needs to be loved by somebody. And the novel is based on a dream I had 8 years ago about a girl I am dating right now. Her name's Noelle. Noelle is an amazing young lady. I love her to death. Yeah, she could be a pain in the rear end sometimes. All women could be, but we, well, that girl is my right hand girl, and she, she's my best friend, and she keeps me on my toes, and that's what relationships are all about, is to, be there for each other and love each other as Jesus wants us to love ourselves and our neighbors. And I am reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36, verse 31. And I would like you to focus on what the message is. In the last few weeks, I was talking about how you are a Dave Hansen. How you are a Dave Hansen. And how there are children looking for a Dave Hansen to love them. To love him or her. And like Dave does, and that inspires me to see a man like Dave to love children the way he does, and you gentlemen are Dave Hansen, and there are children, there is a child on every street corner of your town that are homeless. And listen to this. I've done research, because God put it in my heart, but on my last episode, I was asking you how many kids are in Phoenix that are, how many orphans are in Phoenix, and it turned out to be 18,000. I'm going to say it again. 18,000 orphans are in Arizona. From Flagstaff to Sedona to Tucson, all over. Glendale, Scottsdale, all over. And there are orphanages all over Phoenix. And it's important. I am asking God to open up the doors for me to visit an orphanage when I'm out there in a couple weeks. I have 3 weeks left before I go out because I'm leaving on November 16th. And God has me focused on the children out there in Arizona, and why those kids are looking for a home. I'm going to be talking to churches, I'll be talking to farmers when I'm out there. I know Dad likes to go to a local farmer's market to pick up turkey and whatever he needs for Thanksgiving. That's what my family does. We go to a farmer's market, pick up what we need for dinner, and we cook it. And my grandmother does it, my aunt does it. But that's what the bakers do. The rules are different. My mom said the family's different. They just go to ShopRite or Walmart, whatever grocery store there is. But the bakers, we go to a farmer's market. And there's a farmer's market right in Oldsville. A good friend of the ministry, Rick and Julie. They are amazing people. They have a farm called Freedom Hill Farm. Check them out. And they do a lot for the ministry. They do a lot for the foster families and the single families as well. And the single moms and dads that are raising children by themselves. And the purpose of Foster Valley is to focus on the orphans and widows. And I know some widows. My aunt has been a widow for at least 16, 17 years. Yeah, 17 years, because my stepbrother Travis just turned 18. 17 years she's been a widow because Uncle Tony died in September of 2002. And I had to make two flights out here from Arizona in two different months. And from the first time I was out here was when Grandpa Springborn died in August. The second time was in September, when after the 9/11 terrorist attack, that's when we came out here, and we moved back in January of 2004, and it's heartbreaking to watch a widow raise your cousin by herself and nobody out there to help her. We came back out here because my mom wanted to be with her sister, help her raise Nicole, who's now married. She's been married for 2 months now, and she was married in August. September was a month, and it's October, 2 months now, and it's amazing how they've been together. They've been together, 3 years, 4 years, in 6 months. I believe 6 months. Yeah, Jack and Nicole have been together that long. Wow. Yeah, because 3 years. They've been together around the same time Noelle and I started dating. Well, now they started dating in November. Zach and Nicole started dating 2 months after. And I remember that day we were going to Suffern for a fireman's parade in that December. Yeah, in December, I was going down with my grandparents and my cousin. Told me that Jesse broke up with her, and that she found another man. His name is Zach. And believe me, it's taken me a long time to get used to two Zacharys in the family, my stepbrother and my cousin-in-law. And that young man is a blessing. He's amazing. He loves Jesus. He loves Jesus more than I do. That is sad. It's amazing, being around that kid. I feel the love of Jesus through him, and I wish there were more guys out there. And Jack is the only only guy I like that Nicole's ever been with. And I like Jesse, but after the cancer hit him, after he went downhill, and he started becoming a nasty person, and accusing Nicole for things that she didn't do, like cheating on him, and the jealousy started coming, and I never seen that side of him before, until the cancer came, and that broke my heart to see that happen, to see the relationship fall apart like that. And I ministered to Jesse, and I showed him every love I could, and treated him like a brother. And treating them like family, and watching them struggle spiritually, and that was God's way of telling Nicole that there's somebody out there that is waiting for him, waiting for her, and that was Jack. Jack was waiting for her, and they met. Jack was a mutual friend through Jesse from the fire department, and they both live in Pennsylvania, and that bothered me some, that Jesse had to go through that. And I had a dream of her getting married to some young man. His name is Zachary. And that Nicole was happy with this young man. And it turned out to be true. She found that young man. And she changed his life. A man who was depressed and angry at people, and Nicole just happened to be right there to make a difference. And at the wedding, the best man was talking about him, saying that, "Hey, dude, I think I found the one. I found what I was looking for. I was missing the piece of the puzzle." And Nicole was that missing piece of the puzzle that Zach was looking for in his life. And we do have that missing piece of the puzzle And God put it on Jacob's heart. There is an orphan out there that is looking for love. And that is you. And I told Jack that Nicole is an orphan. And an orphan doesn't have to be a child without parents. An orphan could be a child that has lost a parent, a mother, a father. And Nicole happened to be an orphan, being raised by a widow. And Jack happened to be there, and because I prophesied over that young man, and saying that you are going to date an orphan. You're going to marry an orphan someday, Jack. And he did. He married an orphan. And they're happy together. And that makes me happy. And when I met the young man, I thought of Dave. Thought about how Dave loves children. And I still tell him today, you are a Dave Hansen. You are a Dave Hansen, Jack. He said, why is that? He said, because how he loves orphans and how you love my cousin. Because my cousin is an orphan. Nicole is an orphan, and you are Dave Hansen. Been telling him that for 6 months, that he's a Dave Hansen. You are too. You are a Dave Hansen, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me carefully. You are a Dave Hansen. There is an orphan out there who's looking for a father figure. That just lost a dad from cancer or whatever. Whatever death that he went through. But Nicole, Uncle Tony died from colon cancer. And yeah, I'm pouring out my heart this morning. Pouring out my sadness that I've been going through for 17 years watching an orphan like my cousin growing up without a father. And Zachary's father is a father figure. Nicole's father-in-law is like a dad to her. And at the wedding, I saw how they have a relationship, the bond that they created together, Nicole and her father-in-law. And I never seen a father-in-law love an orphan the way he does. And I said, look, buddy, you remind me of Dave. You remind me of Dave. He said, what's that? I said, how you love my cousin Nicole. How you love Nicole. And how your son loves Nicole. You guys are Dave Hansons. And that makes me happy to see that. It makes me happy to see another Dave Hansen in my family that loves Nicole the way a father loves Nicole. loves his own daughter and hugs her and kisses her like she's her his own. And that some of it torn me apart because I thought of Uncle Tony and how much Uncle Tony loved her. Uncle Tony loved children. There was an orphan. Uncle Tony was a plumber for an orphanage, a Christian orphanage. And how many orphans in Sonoma County? Not just Sonoma County, but all over the Hudson Valley. Tony. How you doing, Tony? I love you, Tony. One day, Francis went to heaven for his good deeds. One day, Francis went to heaven, went home to be with Lord 17 years ago. That was my Uncle Tony. And how he loved the orphans. How he loved widows as well. He knew Aunt Leach was going to be a widow. Because he thought of Aunt Lisa, how she's going to minister to another widow who just lost her husband. The same way she lost her husband. An orphan ministered to another orphan who lost a father. Grown up without a father. There's an orphan who lives right next door to my Aunt Lisa. Just lost her father from a drug overdose. And Bloomingburg is filled with orphans. And it breaks my heart to see that little girl growing up with her father. 5 years old. She's only five. 5 years old. And Nicole, how you doing? I love you, Nicole. There are children out there who need a Dave out there. Who needs a Dave to love that child? Yeah, the Dufferin Church is kind of tired of hearing that Dave Hansen talk about wising up, taking in every child there is that needs a home, needs a father figure to love a child. And those pastors are tired of listening to you who are like Dave. They're liberal, and I don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Why? Because they don't care. They think they wish they're dead. They wish the children are dead. What kind of church is that? To wish a child dead. That's the left-wing church for you. I wish the child was dead. Makes me want to ask that pastor, what would Jesus do if he heard those words come out of your mouth? How would he feel? Would it be happy with you, or would it be disappointed with you in saying, I wish that child was dead? Come on, Dave Hansons. Wise up. Take in every child there is. Open up your farm to a child who needs a home. I'm calling out to every Dave Hanson out there. That's what I'm calling out for. Every Dave Hansons to rise up and take in a child that needs love. That needs a home. Needs a father. And you are one of them. You are Dave Hanson who needs a child that needs a home. There's a little girl that I always talk about in my sermons. Mia. And how Dave loves that little girl as his own child. Always holding her, playing with her, kissing her. Like she's his own daughter. And that makes me happy to see a father figure like Dave to hold a child, love a child as his own child. And you are a Dave Hansen who would do the same thing. There's a child that will come to your church or your home with open arms saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. I want to read this verse. And when I read these verses last few days, I thought of Dave. And I thought about you guys as well. And how much you guys love children. It says, I will perish. I will punish him and his children who attends for their wickedness. I will bring on them and those living in Jerusalem and the people of Judah every disaster I pronounced against them because they have not listened. And there are the left-wing church has not listened to God. They have pulled away from the cross. They have. Pastors who I thought was Dave Hansen, just, yeah, whatever. Whatever. I don't care. But the right-wing church loves children. The left-wing church doesn't. The white loves children. Left doesn't. White does. Left doesn't. White does. Left doesn't. And it makes me happy to see a man like Dave, pastor like Dave, that takes in a child that needs a home. And I'm going to close in with a prayer. And I want you to think about being think about those children while you are in prayer. I'm going to challenge your prayer life this morning. I am. I'm going to challenge you this morning. If you are a Dave Hansen, I'm going to challenge your prayer life. And I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to challenge you to read every scripture there is. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for all these people out there who are looking for a child. That these men who are looking for an orphan that needs a father figure in their life. There are 18,000 orphans in Arizona right now as you speak, and the ratings are growing each day. There are thousands of orphans in America today, but 18,000 in Arizona. Help me raise up a Dave Hansen list in 3 weeks. Help me raise up a Dave Hansen next month. To take in every child there is that needs a home and father that would love them like Dave does. Every child is crying out for help, crying out for love. Don't know where their next meal is. And I thank you, Father, for Jesus and his cross. And it's in his name. Amen. God bless you all, and thank you for listening. Well, good morning. I'm Nick Baker. I'm your host, and you're listening to the Prayer Chair. And it is a pretty good morning. this morning, and kind of chilly, and but I know it's a good morning with Jesus, and it's amazing. This morning I'm going to be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, and verse 2 and 5, and I like to, yesterday I was talking about how to, I was talking about children, and how the church should stand up, and also I was talking about my upcoming book I have coming, I'm writing right now. It's called An Angel Named Kate, but God put this story in my heart. It's based on a dream I had 8 years ago before I met my best friend Noel. Noel and I would be together 3 years next month in a couple weeks, and it's amazing how we met. And the novel explains pretty much everything, how our relationship started, and how we became partners with Foster Valley, and how many foster kids we are taking care of as well. And it is very important to focus on Foster Valley and the purpose of the ministry. And you could donate to us anytime, any amount, and the abbreviation of Tri-State Family Christian Center, it is TSFCC, and our address, it is P.O. Box 3113, and doesn't matter how much you could donate to our ministry, and we love donations. We you could donate money, you could donate clothes, doesn't matter what you want to donate. Tuesday night is our dinner. You are welcome to come to the Christian Center on Tuesday night for dinner, and for those who are foster families, or if you are a single mother, please come by and hang out with us, and we love single parents that come and hang out with us, and get a free meal. This coming Tuesday won't be dinner because the program I'm not happy with. The Boy Scouts are coming Tuesday night, and hopefully I'm not around because they are going to hear my mouth and saying that you guys are sinners, and you guys are allowing homosexuals into the Boy Scouts, and transsexuals in the Boy Scouts as well. And I try not to be judgmental, but there are things I'm not happy about, and we have to pray about it, and we have to pray for the kids. And I'd like to open my message up this morning in prayer, and I want to spend time in prayer as possible as we could. And I'm going to challenge your prayer life this morning. I started it yesterday, and I'm going to do it again today. I'm going to challenge you to pray. And you have to pray more. And for the orphans and widows in your area. And yesterday I was talking about the 18,000 orphans in Arizona. There are 18,000 of them on every street corner. and it upsets me when I was researching that. When I was researching the amount of kids in Arizona that are homeless. They are homeless. They don't have anybody. And they are in these shelters all over Phoenix, including Flagstaff. And those 18,000 kids that are in these shelters need to be in a church setting. In a church setting. That is the purpose of Fawcett Valley. To get them into a church, get them into a good home, get them into a good environment, Christ-based environment that would love them the way Christ loves them. And I love that. I love how Jesus loves children. And Jesus told his disciples to leave them alone because the disciples told them to go away. They rebuked the children. And you see that in the book of Mark, chapter 10, and that how Jesus told the disciples to leave them alone so that he could bring them in. Let's open up in prayer this morning. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for those who are listening to this podcast and for those who don't actually know the purpose of a Christian home. A Christian home to love a child as you love them. The disciples rebuked the children because they were coming to Jesus, and Jesus told them to leave them alone because we are like them. We are like the children. We can't enter your kingdom without acting like a child. With a childlike mind, childlike behavior, childlike heart, and attitude. We can't enter your kingdom without being like a little child. And whenever those children see somebody, see an adult that is a parent figure to crawl up into their laps, cuddle with them. Father, I just pray for Dave this morning and the wonderful works that he is doing. Just bless this ministry right now, Father. Just bless every foster families out there that are just crying out to you this morning. Father, what I love about Dave is that how much he loves the children as his own. He just pours out your love to them. His love is not his love, they're your love that he's pouring out to them. You're pouring out your love through Dave to those kids who don't know what love is, don't know what it's like to be loved by a father figure. They don't have fathers in your life. Have their dads ran off, walled them off. Have their dads died in law enforcement or the fire department or the military. There are servicemen that are dying left and right because they are protecting their families and they're protecting the families that they work for or work with. They're putting their lives on the line for a purpose. We are in a spiritual battle right now this morning, Father. And we don't know why we are going through those battles. We don't know how to overcome those battles. Father, just give us a chance this morning to learn how to overcome those challenges. Father, there is a spiritual battle right now in this building, and that we don't know how to overcome these spiritual battles. This ministry is being attacked by the enemy because of the amount of kids we have in our ministry that we are focused on this morning, this year, this month. Knowing that Satan's holiday is coming next Thursday, just bless every child that is in a Halloween costume to know the purpose of Halloween. And it's in His name I pray. Amen. Well, guys, Halloween is coming up next week, next Thursday. And these children don't know the purpose of Halloween. They don't know what Halloween is. What is Halloween? Halloween is the holiday of Satan. Satan's holiday. With a group of witches get together. And they cast spells on people. It's not all about trick-or-treating. Not all about wearing costumes. It's all about worshiping Satan and Satan alone. Do I wish Halloween was never around? Yes, I do wish that. I do wish that. I wish that they would change the name to Jesus Christ Harvest Festival. Jesus Christ Harvest Festival. That's what I wish they would name it. Change the name from Halloween to Jesus Christ Harvest Festival. Share the love of Jesus to these children. They need to know the purpose of Halloween. These demons are attacking these kids left and right every time they're in these costumes. Being attacked by the enemy. They are in these costumes, dressed up as monsters, superheroes, witches. They are dressed up and they don't know the purpose of Halloween. They don't know the attachments, what is attached to those costumes. I know what's attached to those costumes. Demons. Demons are attached to those costumes. Dressed up like Lucifer. There are demon costumes. And those costumes are filled with those spirits. They are. Those spirits are attached to every costume there is. And the parents wonder why their children are delusional. They wonder why their child have anger issues, behavioral problems. There's the reason why. Because you put your children in those costumes that are filled with demons so that they could be demon possessed. That's why you put them in those Halloween costumes. Fellas, stop dressing your children up in Halloween costumes. Stop! Stop! If you want to know why they have a behavioral problem, remove the costumes. Remove them! If you remove the costumes, they won't have a behavioral problem. They won't. They won't give you an attitude. They won't pick fights with their brothers and sisters. They won't be picking fights with their relatives because of the demon-possessed costumes. They are possessing the demons that are on those Halloween costumes. They are being brainwashed. Every time they put on a costume, they're demon possessed. They're getting tattoos. Pagan symbols on tattooed on their arms or their shoulder blades or whatever. When they're in their teenage years. What's up with the tattoos on my son's arm? What's up with the tattoos on my daughter's ankle or her foot or her arm or her back? Well, there's a reason why. There's a purpose of those tattoos. There's a purpose of them. Like what I said earlier, those Halloween costumes, the spirits, the demons that are in your child's body, controlling your child's body, controlling his or her mind, saying, get that tattoo. Get it. Get that tattoo. Mark up your body. Who cares what God says? No, that God told you not to put a tattoo on your body. And I'm telling you the different way. I'm telling you it's okay to get the tattoos on your body. It's okay to mark your body. It's okay to put piercings in your ears or your nose or your tongue. Satan always finds a way to attack your children. Do you know what upsets Dave and I the most? When these children that are demon possessed with a behavioral problem, when they become a problem child at home because of those costumes that are filled with demons, they become drug addicts. Why? Because they wear those costumes on Halloween. And those demons that are attached to those costumes that they wore as a child, when they become teenagers, peer pressure. Oh, here's pot. Here's crack. Here's heroin. Here you go. Have at it. That what upsets Dave and I the most is the drugs. The pharmaceuticals. That's what upsets Dave and I the most. Our focus, Dave's focus is on the drug addiction. The children who are born addicted to drugs or peer pressured by friends. That's Dave's focus on Fawcett Valley. To avoid peer pressure. That's the purpose of the farm. That we're purchasing is because peer pressure. Get the kids away from peer pressure. Get them away from it. Get them away from peer pressure. That's the purpose of Fawcett Valley. Is to get the kids away from peer pressure. When they age out of the foster care system, only to cope with the pain of being abandoned by a family, by a relative, a parent, is drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography. That's how they cope with pain, is pornography sex, drugs, alcohol, rock and roll. Fame, fortune. That's all they care about. They don't care about anything else. All they care about is sex and the marriage. What does Paul say about sex and the marriage? Paul says it's a sin. But in the book of Genesis, God says, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'm going to give him a wife. Sex belongs in marriage. In marriage only. But all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, in Paul's time, they were having sex in marriage. They were having parties. They were drinking. That's what these kids are doing today. Teenage pregnancies are out of control. There's teenagers. Teenage pregnancies are increasing each year. We need to decrease it. That's why Dave and I are calling out to the church to stop teenage pregnancies. To stop it. To stop teenage pregnancies. Teenage pregnancies are outrageous. We need to stop that. That's the purpose of Fawcett Valley, is to stop teenage pregnancies. We have to end it. We have to put it to the end. We have young girls come in here to the center every Sunday morning or every day. When we are open to the public, there are teenage girls with little kids. A 16-year-old girl who has a 3-year-old son and pregnant. That, how can we minister to that person? How can we minister to those young ladies who come in here at that age, young age, 16, 17, 18, 19, pregnant with children? Pregnant. Teenage pregnancy. How can we talk to a teenage girl that is pregnant? That walks through our doors every week. How can we minister to them? Prayer. And tell her that Jesus loves her. Jesus loves her. Mary was a virgin. Mary was 16 when she had Jesus. These young girls are scared. They're scared. They are scared. There's girls that come to the warm station on Tuesday nights. Teenage girls that are pregnant and homeless. Port Jervis is filled with teenage girls that got pregnant and got kicked out of the home because their fathers couldn't take it. That's why we had a home for those girls. It was called Wings House, and the city shut us down. Shutting that house down because it's on city property. Prayer is the key. Praying for these teenage girls that are selling their bodies for sex, becoming prostitutes. We have to minister to every prostitute there is. Tell her about Jesus. That Jesus loves her. Thank God Nicole wasn't a prostitute. Thank God my cousin wasn't. I would kill every man that had sex with her. She was a prostitute. But only one cousin I'm worried about is Megan. Megan's my main focus. I don't care if she's 19. Or not. I don't care if she's in her 20s. But no man is going to stick his penis in her. Out of marriage. There's no way that girl is having sex out of marriage. And she knows it. She knows how I feel about it. She knows how I feel about sex out of marriage. It's inappropriate. Disgusting. You are a Dave Hansen. You are. Minister to those kids in your area. Minister to the kids in your family. Your nieces, your nephews, your cousins, your siblings. Minister to them. Let's get to the scripture. It says, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child and the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcome one such child in my name welcomes me. And Jesus wants us to welcome every child. Welcome it. Welcome a child with open arms. We can't enter the kingdom of heaven without being like a child. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel. The Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark is important to realize what Jesus wants us to do to be childlike and to see what he is calling us to be and why we are being called into the kingdom of heaven as a child. And I'm going to be reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 13 and 16. And it's important the reason why God has children on my heart this week, because of my novel, because of an angel named Kate, the novel I'm writing, we need a purpose. We need a purpose. And that purpose is to how to bring in a child into our family, into our lives. I don't know if I mentioned this story before. But I shared it with other people off air, but I never shared it on air. And I've shared this message. But I might have last year, but my girlfriend Noel was abandoned by her mother. I didn't even know it at the time. And I knew she was a foster child. I knew her grandmother raised her, but I didn't know she was abandoned. Mother's Day, during our fellowship here at Center, Dave was preaching about Mary and other mothers, besides Mary, but mothers in the Old Testament as well. And he was talking about Ruth and how Ruth is his role model, his inspiration, his favorite people in the Bible when it comes to children. Ruth is the mother of Samuel. And how Ruth inspired Dave to pray. When Dave was sharing that story that Sunday morning, Noel got up, ran into the kitchen, crying. My worship leader, Pam, came up to me that morning and told me that she was crying. Well, the first time she cried was in my office before church started. The second time she was crying was when Dave was preaching, went into the kitchen, cried. And she told me her story. She told me that her mother abandoned her as a baby, dumped her on the couch, threw her on the couch. She landed hard on the couch. That hard. That's how hard she hit the couch. You could hear her skin. You could hear her hit the couch. Mother tossed her on the couch and left. Left. Never came back. Never came back. Because she didn't want the responsibility of a mother. There are women out there that are wicked, selfish. And what is the church doing? What's the left-wing church doing? They're not doing nothing. They're not taking in a mother that doesn't want to be mother, but focus on drugs, choosing drugs over her child? Choosing drugs over her children? Her family? What's more important? Drugs? Or family? I say family's more important than drugs. That's what I say. That's what I want to tell her. I want to tell that young lady, look, your daughter, two of your daughters, Noelle and Zara, they are more important than your drugs. That's what I want to tell her. Your daughters, Zara and Noelle, are more important than your drugs. That's what I want to tell her. It's not Joyce's responsibility. It wasn't your mother's responsibility to raise your children, but yours. It's not your friend's responsibility. You know that Joyce and Bill was your friends, and still is your friends, or your friends. It's not their responsibility to raise your children, but yours. Jesus would not be happy with you choosing drugs of your children and having a family friend have your responsibility as a mother to raise your children after your mother died. After your mother died and having a family friend taking your children? Mrs. Gigi, I hope you are listening to this message, to this podcast. I hope you're listening to this. How dare you abandon my girlfriend like that? How dare you? I hope you're listening to this, young lady. I hope you are listening. How dare you abandon your daughter like that? Oh, God. Make this young lady listen to my message, to this podcast. And I hope she is listening. Ms. Gigi, I hope you are listening to this. I hope you are. I hope you are listening to this. I hope you are listening. Why give your mother and your family friend the responsibility to raise your children? I'm not being judgmental. I'm just speaking the truth. I am speaking the truth. If you want to be a mother, be a mother. Don't give your friends or your family or your family friend your responsibility as a mother. Ladies, I'm talking to you as well. Do not be like Noelle's mother. Do not give your family friend or your mother your responsibility. You take care of your children. Not your friends, not your family. Your friends and your family could be there just in case you need it. You need help to watch your children when you're working. But taking care of your children for nothing? Because you're choosing your drugs of your children? Come on! Ladies, I pray for you every day. I do. I pray for you every day. And I hope this sermon this morning will change your heart. Who are you going to choose? Your drugs? Or are you going to choose your children? What are you going to choose? If you choose drugs and have your family friend raise your child, yeah, I love Joyce. Joyce is an amazing woman. She's an amazing young lady. But she doesn't know how to handle Noelle. She feels like It's Noelle's mother's responsibility, not mine. Why do I have to take care of somebody else's children? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do that? That's what Joyce thinks. Why do I have another woman's children in my home? Why am I raising another woman's child? Or her daughters? And I have another woman's child in college. And I have another woman's special needs child. With autism. I don't know how to handle it. But I know she gives her life to Jesus. And I know Jesus takes care of those kids. Those girls. Those two beautiful girls. And it bothers me that these girls have to suffer. Good thing these girls didn't have to be in a stranger's home. It's a good thing a family friend happened to be there to take in those girls. The beautiful young ladies. They are gorgeous young ladies. But I wonder why their mother chose drugs over them and give Joyce her responsibility. It bothers me to think that. If Noah's mother was busy, Joyce wouldn't mind taking care of the kids for a week or so, or a couple days, or have the kids at her house on the weekends, or the summertime, doing things with them. But no, she had to be their foster mother. And the responsibility of another woman's children. Another woman's responsibility. It's not fair for a foster mother to have the stress and strain. Yeah, it's a good thing to take in a child that's not yours, but these people are choosing their drugs over their children. I pray to God, ladies, that you are not choosing your drugs of your children. Why choose drugs of your children? Why choose drugs of your children? I'm going to ask that question one more time. Why choose drugs of your children? Why? So that you're going to give a local pastor like Dave your responsibility to raise your children? And not a pastor's responsibility. A pastor's job is to guide you and your family how to raise a child, give you advice, give you tips. It's not Dave's responsibility to raise a child. It's not his responsibility. It's yours. You're the parent. You take your responsibility. You be responsible of your children. If your child misbehaves and the pastor tells you that your child's misbehaving in a Christian center, destroying our property, you discipline, not Dave. It's not fair to Dave to discipline your child. You discipline him. When Dave had to discipline your children, and the stress he has, makes me want to tell those parents and tell you guys, nice knowing you. Don't come back to the Christian Center again. And few are gonna give my pastor your responsibility. And I see that. Every day when I'm here, I see the parents ignoring the children. Every Thursday when I come here, Dave is disciplining the child. Disciplining the child. And it's yours. It's your children. Your child that Dave's disciplining. Take responsibility if you want to come to the Christian Center on Thursdays or open play. If you want to come for talk time, be responsible. If you want to come here for open play, be responsible of your children. Don't give Dave and I your responsibility. God bless you.